ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। I chose this subject because a few weeks ago, a friend of mine, he asked me to speak on this the next time I would sit here and speak in New Dvorka. So I promised him I would do that, so I'm fulfilling that promise, even though I don't see him here tonight. Still, I made the promise, and I have to keep it. The question he asked me, because he was confiding in me, that he's very much afraid of dying, and he doesn't know how to deal with it. And I said to him, I'm in the same boat. I'm also very much afraid of dying. And I told him of my experience back in February, when I was in Santiago, Chile, at 4 o'clock in the morning, the whole apartment building was rocking and rolling and shaking, and I immediately got out of bed and was very sincerely chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. And the family that I was staying with, I could hear the mother also very, very sincerely chanting the holy name, waiting for the earthquake, or they call it terremoto. They were waiting. And I've been in earthquakes before, but this one was going on. I think I chanted a whole round. I mean, at least it seemed like that. So for me, it was a big wake-up call on so many different levels. So this morning I was chanting, and I was waiting for some inspiration from Krishna in my heart, on because there's so many different ways you can answer something. There's so many different approaches. So this morning in my chanting, in my heart, Krishna told me to speak on this particular portion of Srimad Bhagavatam. In the second canto is where Shukadeva Goswami actually begins to speak. The first canto ends with Maharaj Parikshit addressing the saints and sages and demigods, because Maharaj Parikshit has been informed that he has 7 days to live, and we are not as fortunate, because we don't know if we have 7 seconds, 7 days, seven, we don't know. Death can come in an instant. Parikshit Maharaj was fortunate that he had at least 7 days to prepare. So he renounced his kingdom, sat down on the bank of the Ganges, or technically Yamuna, and because of who Maharaj Parikshit was, the great descendant of the Pandavas, the great heir apparent, the great Mahabhagavat, great, great, exalted king, when it was informed that he would give up his body, all great saintly persons and rishis, demigods from all over the universe came to see the passing away of Parikshit. And when Shukadeva Goswami arrived on the scene, everyone stood up, and it was agreed, yes, Shukadeva Goswami will speak. So here's what Parikshit said to all the saints, the Brahmins, O trustworthy Brahmins, I now ask you about my immediate duty. Please, after proper deliberation, tell me of the unalloyed duty of everyone in all circumstances, and specifically of those who are just about to die. So this word duty, the implication is that when you lead a righteous life, it's always based on duty. Somebody who is leading a godly life can never act whimsically or independently. The question is always, what is my duty? And Parikshit exemplifies it. He wants to know, you know, there's no bucket list for Maharaj Parikshit. Nowadays they have this thing, bucket list. Oh, before I die, I want to see the Grand Canyon, I want to do this. And for Maharaj Parikshit, what is my duty? Then, when Shukadev appears, he says to Shukadev, O Shukadeva Goswami, please let me know what a man should not do, what he should chant, what he should remember, and what he should worship. Please explain all this to me. So, Shukadeva Goswami has accepted the position of his guru, just like when Arjuna surrendered to Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna assumed the position of guru. Shukadeva Goswami began to answer. This is the first question of Maharaj Parikshit. The whole Bhagavatam is a question and answer series. Parikshit Maharaj asks a question and Shukadev answers it thoroughly. And then that leads to another question. It's answered. And you will find in Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a conversation within a conversation, within a conversation, within a conversation. And you have to study deeply so you know where we're at. And all these questions and answers finally lead us to the point where Shukadeva Goswami begins to describe the life of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But it takes 9 cantos to get to that point. Because when you say this word, what's that word? What's the word? Nobody knows? Krishna, hello? Everyone say the word. Duh. When you say this word, Krishna, it has great context. Some people think, oh, Krishna means this. No. According to Shukadeva Goswami and Vyasadeva, the name, the word Krishna means 9 cantos, a few hundred chapters, a few thousand shlokas to explain what we mean by this name.
Krishna.
Ah, okay. I think we've woken up a little bit.
Yes.
Jai. Jai. So let's see what Gurudev, Shukadeva Goswami, says. We should keep in mind, who is Shukadeva Goswami? I was thinking of that on the drive here from my home. I was thinking, yes, it's important to understand who was Shukadev. He was in the womb of his mother for 16 years. And in the womb of his mother, he was already self-realized. And why was he in the womb for 16 years? He was thinking, I'm already self-realized. If I come out of the womb, I could fall into Maya. Better I stay in the womb. I'm self-realized. And you can imagine his mother, 16 years. When is this child going to come? Ladies, you know, right? 9-10 months is enough. 16 years. Finally, Vyasadeva, his father, approached Krishna himself and told him of the situation. So Krishna came and spoke to Shukadev in the womb of his mother and said, Shukadev, it's okay. You come out of the womb, you won't fall into Maya. I guess Sukadeva Goswami believed Krishna. I mean, after all, if Krishna says it, you're not going to doubt him, right? So Sukadeva Goswami came out of the womb, and as soon as he did, he saw, oh, householders. And he left, took sannyas immediately. And it's like, we've been waiting 16 years, and immediately the son leaves? So Vyasadeva is following him. My son, my son. So Sukadeva, being compassionate, he expanded himself. And one Sukadeva went back home and stayed with his parents, and the other Sukadeva went on to experience the Srimad Bhagavatam. Pretty good. Wouldn't you love to expand yourself? One of you could go to work, the other could stay back and, you know, have fun. Yeah, it's not going to happen. Don't ask me, Prabhu, what's the mantra to do that? Prabhu, is there some, like, life member fee? I'll pay it. Nah, not so easy. So this is Sukadeva Goswami, recognized at that time as the most advanced transcendentalist. So Sukadeva says, my dear king, your question is glorious because it is very beneficial to all kinds of people. The answer to this question is the prime subject matter for hearing, and it is approved by all transcendentalists. So this question, what is my duty at the time of death? This is the real objective. And he says, approved by all transcendentalists, because there's different classes of transcendentalists. But regardless, they all will approve of this subject matter of what is my duty at the time of death. He continues, persons who are materially engrossed, being blind to the knowledge of ultimate truth, leave many subject matters for hearing in human society, O Emperor. This is also mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita by Krishna, that when you are fixed in Krishna consciousness, you only have one objective, how to go back home, back to Krishna. But when you're not fixed, when you're enamored by the material world, then you have so many branches of interest. We call it splayed, you're splayed out. You want to do this, like I was saying, the bucket list. You want to do this, you want to go here, you want to do this, I want this, I want this. But yes, but you're not going to achieve this ultimate goal of going back to the kingdom of God, conquering death. The lifetime of an envious householder is passed at night either in sleeping or in sex indulgence, and in the daytime either in making money or maintaining family members. Yes, that is 2010. That's what 99.99% of the human population is doing. Make money, take care of the family. But you're different. Yes, you have to do that, but the mere fact that you're here indicates you know that there's something more to life than just maintaining the family and making money. You know that I have an ultimate objective, otherwise you wouldn't be here. The mere fact that you walked in the door, the mere fact that you're still sitting here means you're indicating to Krishna, yes, I have an inkling, I have an interest to really become self-realized. That's very good. I give you a hand. I applaud you. Because how many millions of people in Los Angeles, how many are here? That this proves what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. Out of many thousands among men, you might find one who's interested in perfection. And of those who are achieving perfection, hardly one knows me, Krishna, in truth. So you're one in a million. That's how you, now don't get puffed up. But the fact of the matter is, you're one in a, the figures don't lie. Right? We could accommodate millions here, somehow or other, but they don't come. Let's continue. Persons devoid of atma-tattva. Atma-tattva means the truth of the soul, the truth of the self. Do not inquire into the problems of life, being too attached to the fallible soldiers like the body, children, and wife. Although sufficiently experienced, they still do not see their inevitable destruction. This word, fallible soldiers. The king has his soldiers to protect the city, to protect the kingdom. And the conditioned soul thinks, oh, I have my great nation, it will protect me. I have my bank balance, that will save me. I have my car, I have my house, I have my toys. Yes, it's not just the children have toys. We adults have our toys too. Flat screen and so many things. We have our toys. We think my family members will save me, will protect me. My community or my wife will save me. So Shukadeva says these are fallible. When the crucial moment of death comes, nobody can save you. Only one person can save you at the time of death. I think we already said his name.
Krishna!
Jai. Yes. I've said many, many times in public, take Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, right, the richest men in the world. Can they take one penny with them when Yamaraj comes to call? No. Can Bill Gates take one microchip? Can Warren Buffett make a deal with Yamaraj? Hey, let's make a deal. What do you say? I'll give you so much shares in my... No. It will not save him. So it's really silly, isn't it? You may amass billions of dollars, but how much can you take with you when you leave this world?
Zero.
That's right. But your Krishna consciousness, your knowledge of God, that you can take with you. O descendant of Bharata. So here is the first answer, the first, because so far it's been negative, so to speak. Here is his positive answer. O descendant of King Bharat, one who desires to be free from all miseries. Who would like to be free from all miseries?
Yeah.
Very good. So here's your answer. Must hear about, glorify, and also remember the personality of Godhead, who is the Supersoul, the Controller, and the Savior from all miseries. So who is the Supersoul? Krishna. So Krishna is the Controller, and then the name is Ishvara, and the Savior from all miseries. Sometimes when I was younger and I would be preaching on the streets of New York or other places, one religious group would come up to me, "Are you saved?" And I would say, "Oh yes, I'm saved. Krishna tells me this, I know, because the Gita tells me so." And here it is complete. The Savior from all... So we are definitely saved. And I have, because they would say, "But do you have a personal Savior?" I would say, "Yes. His name is A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. My personal Savior." And then I would say, "Thank you very much. Take one of our books." And they would give me their little pamphlet. And I would open it. And it would have a picture of a man sitting on the throne, supposedly God, with no face. Yeah, it would be a blank face. Or some guy with an old beard. And I would say, "Ah, see? Prabhupada is presenting the picture of God. Look, do you see an old man with a beard? Do you see a blank face?" Now, I like this conception of God better. That's why I joined this movement. Srila Prabhupada ki. The highest perfection of human life, achieved either by complete knowledge of matter and spirit, or by practice of mystic powers, or by perfect discharge of occupational duty, is to remember the personality of Godhead at the end of life. The Sanskrit, Ante Narayana Smriti. Can we all say? So this is the same thing Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita when Arjuna also asks a similar question. Krishna says, anyone who can remember me at the time of death will come to me. Who wants to come to Krishna? Very good. You should all want to come to Krishna. Who wants to come back and take birth again? Good. You'd be surprised. I've asked this question even in Hindu temples. And you'd be surprised. Some people want to come back. I say, okay, if you want to come back, it's all yours. But Prabhupada told us, don't stick around for a Kalki avatar in Kali Yuga. Go back home, back to Godhead as soon as possible. And Prabhupada used to say, chant 16 rounds, follow the four regulative principles, you will go back home, back to Godhead in this lifetime. I'm for that. Shall we all go back home, back to Godhead in this lifetime?
Amen.
Then chant Hare Krishna like you never chanted before.
Amen.
Very good. Very good. So, sometimes people ask the question, why do you have to chant so much? Well, here's the answer. If you don't practice, you may not be able to chant at the time of death. Just like you look at all these athletes, Kobe, or any of these Olympic athletes, they put so much hours, because I was hearing that Kobe, he spends hours throwing a ball into a hoop. Hours perfecting that. I got to throw the... Yeah, he gets paid millions of dollars to throw a ball into a hoop. That's Kali Yuga. But the point is, they spend hours training. Not that they can play that sport or any athletic thing. You just don't lounge around all day drinking pina colada, watching television. Oh, it's time for the game? Okay, let's go. No, you train. You practice. You work. So what to speak? You want to go back home, back to the kingdom of God? You have to prepare yourself. You have to practice. You got to get your spiritual body buff. We're trying to develop our spiritual body. I see every day people are getting up early, jogging, or they're going to the gym. Why? They want to keep the body fit so that they can do their work and enjoy life. But the devotees, they're also getting up early, but they are developing their spiritual body. They're doing everything they do to develop their spiritual body. And why? So that when the time of death comes, they're ready. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. O Maharaj Pariksit, mainly the topmost transcendentalists, who are above the regulative principles and restrictions, take pleasure in describing the glories of the Lord. This is when you know you have reached a nice level. When you can enjoy talking about Krishna. First, you have to be accustomed to chanting Krishna's name. Because that purifies the heart. As Lord Chaitanya's first instruction, Chaito Darpana Marjanam. Cleanse the mirror of the heart. Now, how do you know you're making progress? Because you gain a taste to want to talk about Krishna, to want to hear about Krishna. When you have that kind of a taste, then you know you've made some progress, but don't stop there. Keep going, keep going, keep going. So here Shukadev is going to explain to Parikshit his own situation. At the end of the Dwarapar Yuga, I studied this great supplement of Vedic literature named Srimad Bhagavatam, which is equal to all the Vedas. So sometimes people say, well, why don't you guys in ISKCON study the Vedas? Well, here's the reason. Srimad Bhagavatam is equal to the Vedas. And I learned it from my father, Srila Dvaipayana Vyasadeva. O saintly king, I was certainly situated perfectly in transcendence. Where was he? I already explained. In the womb. All right? Yet, I was still attracted by the delineation of the pastimes of the Lord, who is described in enlightened verses. So this is significant. He was self-realized, yet he admits, I was attracted to these Krishna Leela. Therefore, there's a name for Krishna. Uttama Shloka. Everyone say.
Uttama Shloka.
Uttama Shloka means Krishna is such the person that only the nicest, choicest, bestest words are used to describe him. And those words that describe Krishna are by his devotees who love him. I've explained many, many times. When something is done with love, nothing beats it. I'll give you a practical example. So, I know how to cook. So sometimes I'll ask my wife, my dear wife, Devi. I don't say, hey, yo. Devi. Could you please make me some little sandwich? And sometimes, depending on her mood, she said, well, you got two hands, you can make it yourself. I said, no, you don't understand. When you make it, it tastes so much better. But it's true. It is true. It's not that I'm lazy, and I'm not trying to lord it over, serve me, woman. No, it's not like that. But the point is, I could make the same sandwich, and it's all right. But when she makes it, because there's love, it tastes a million times better. And what does Krishna teach us in Bhagavad Gita? Patrang pushpam palam toyam yome bhakti. And that word appears at least twice in that verse. Krishna says, it's not that I'm hungry, but I'm hungry for your love. This is why I like Krishna consciousness. It's the real love movement. That's why I joined this. I used to be a hippie back in the 60s. I was looking for love in all the wrong places. And even my favorite song, all you need is love. Oh, yes, that's right. But I got let down. Dina, Michelle, Linda. There was no love. There was only heartbreak. So all you need is love turned into the blues. Oh, lonesome me. But then Prabhupada came and said, no, you are frustrated with love because the loving propensity can only be satisfied fully when you love Krishna. It clicked. Ding! The light went off. Duh! Now it's clear. So that's what caused me to join this Krishna consciousness movement. Prabhupada was making it very tangible that you can love God as a person. Not somebody with a blank... How can you love somebody with a blank face? No. But Krishna, God, not only is He beautiful, He's the most beautiful. He's the most attractive in every category. So it's silly not to love Krishna. My wife has even told me, you know, Prabhu, you know, I'm your wife, but if you weren't a devotee, I would have nothing to do with you. So the real center of attraction is Krishna. So Prabhupada is teaching us Simply learn how to love Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya says that's easy. You want to learn how to love Krishna? It's already there in your heart. Love of Krishna is already there. You don't have to go to the store. You don't have to get it from China. You don't have to get it from anywhere. It's already there. It's deep within your heart. It simply has to be awakened. And how do you awaken it? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Krishna, Krishna.
Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. This is the beauty of Krishna consciousness. It's so simple, so sublime, and easy. Anyone, that love of Krishna is there. It just has to be unlocked. And Lord Chaitanya is saying, chant, chant, chant. And what is our mind telling us? Can't, can't, can't. So sometimes you got to tell your mind, shut up. Let's go. That's why kirtan is so good. Kirtan is good. Because kirtan, if you allow yourself, you can get lost and forget. And your mind becomes bombarded by the loud vibration of the Hare Krishna roaring. How many of you went to the parade last Sunday? Right? And you pulled the carts? And were you chanting? And didn't it feel great going down the street? I am a Hare Krishna. I am a follower of Krishna. Na, 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 na. Didn't it feel good? Huh? In America, every group has their day. Right? Every group. So Rath Yatra is our day. We come out, guns blazing! Hari Bol! And we dance and chant with abandon. The whole day is ours. Then we go to the beach, right? The festival is there. I always say, Rath Yatra is the best day to come and be part of New Dwarka. There's no better day. Rath Yatra ki! Jai! Oh, saintly king. Okay, we did that. Okay, let's go on. That very Srimad Bhagavatam I shall recite before you because you are the most sincere devotee of Lord Krishna. So, Prabhupada pointed it out. To be successful, you just need two things, two S's, serious and sincere. That's it. You don't need a college degree. You don't need any material qualification. You just need to be serious and sincere. Can you do that? Can I do that? The finger should be... Yes, that's what we need to do. Just be serious and sincere. One who gives full attention and respect to hearing Srimad Bhagavatam achieves unflinching faith in the Supreme Lord. Unflinching. And I think a lot of us are going through that right now. I know many persons in other countries, friends of mine, Krishna is testing them because of the economy or because of the health. Their faith in Krishna is being tested. Because the tendency is, when everything's going good, oh, Jai Hari Bol, Hari Bol. But when things start to go bad, maybe I should worship somebody else. I don't know. My Krishna stock is going down. Maybe I should worship Babaji. Or maybe I should, you know. But here, unflinching faith, so that when the test comes, you can pass it. Because there's going to be a test. And you have to be able to pass the test. Krishna is not cheap. That's the key. Krishna is not cheap. Krishna even says, if I was cheap, what's the point? Something valuable, right? Something special, then you have to really pass the test. So that test is, can you remain fixed with Krishna through thick and thin? Like the gopis, they were tested. Arjuna, all the great... Prahlad, look at Prahlad. Before this picture, Prahlad was really tested. But he always passed the test because he had unflinching faith. So, Shukadeva Goswami is saying, if you hear Srimad Bhagavatam, you'll get unflinching faith. The giver of salvation, Mukunda. Everyone say,
Mukunda.
Mukunda is another name for Krishna. He gives salvation. Okay, here it comes. Here is the main answer. Let's give it three dings. So here is the main answer, the headline. Here it is, folks. Please repeat, O King. Constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord after the ways of the great authorities is the doubtless and fearless way of success. For all, including those who are free from all material desires, those who are desirous of material enjoyment, and even those who are self-satisfied by dint of transcendental knowledge. This is the same as when Lord Chaitanya says, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Eva Kivalam. Kalo, Nastieva, 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 Gatiranyata. Same point. Because actually, all the Vedas are saying one thing. That you should surrender to Krishna. So look what he says. Chanting the holy name, doubtless and fearless. Any problems there? Doubtless, if somebody offered you a stock that was doubtless and fearless, you would take it, wouldn't you? Somebody offered you anything and said, this is doubtless and fearless. Yeah, I'll take it. So, Shukadeva Goswami is saying, doubtless, and so what is it? Constant chanting. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says the same thing. Kirtaniya, sada. Sada, always. Doubtless and fearless way of success for all. And it doesn't matter. You may want material things. Chant Hare Krishna. You want liberation. Chant Hare Krishna. I've had much experience of this in my life. I can testify to this statement in time after time after time. When my back was against the wall and I was between a rock and a hard place, when the whole world was coming down, I simply would take shelter of Krishna's holy name, and before you know it, everything is sunshine and roses. This has happened so many times. Well, back in February, when the dentist was putting in these porcelain teeth, that Yamaduta, and he was screwing them in and hammering them in and screwing and hammering, I let him know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. That guy got purified. At the end of the session, he was exhausted. I don't know if it was from doing the thing or from my loud chanting. He was actually glad to get rid of me. So, I have so many incidents how this chanting has come to life. Whenever I had a problem, just take complete shelter of Krishna's holy name. What is the value of a prolonged life, which is wasted in experience by years in this world? Better a moment of full consciousness, because that gives one a start in searching after one's supreme interest. Yes, it's not a matter how long you live. What really matters is the quality of your life. And as we have already mentioned from the very beginning, the whole point of human existence, self-realization, understanding. Like right now, you ask anybody, You know, I'm this, I'm a doctor, I'm a lawyer, I'm this, I'm that. No. That's a temporary designation. You're not eternally Kobe Bryant. You're Kobe Bryant in this lifetime. Next lifetime, who knows what you'll be, a taxi cab driver, who knows? Or you may be this or that now, but the question is, who am I eternally? That's the real thing. What am I supposed to be doing for eternally? That's called Krishna consciousness. That's called Atma Tattva. What am I, what is my eternal position? And that is what we discover in this Krishna consciousness. That's what's unveiled to you when you chant. That you will understand, you'll see who you really are. Now I'm 60 years old, I look in the mirror. Oh, feel like Homer Simpson. Oh. But then I say, oh no, that's not me. That's not me. Oh, thank God, that's not me. I haven't seen the real me. This is not me. The real me has yet to be discovered. And by chanting Hare Krishna, little by little, the real me is becoming unveiled. And the day will come when I'll understand, this is what I'm meant to do eternally with Krishna. It's very exhilarating. It's a great experiment, challenge, that will today be the day when it'll be revealed. This gives me great impetus every day to get up and very sincerely and seriously chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. The saintly king, Katvanga, after being informed that the duration of his life would be only a moment more, at once freed himself from all material activities and took shelter of the supreme safety, the personality of Godhead. This Katvanga was an earthly king, but he was so powerful, the demigods engaged him in fighting against the demons. So he fought a long, long time with them. And after the battle was done, the demigods said to Katvanga, you have served us so nicely, we'd like to give you a benediction. So Katvanga was very smart. He said, look at your clocks. How much time do I have left in this life? And they looked on their watches and said, you've got one moment left. So what did Katvanga do? Go after his bucket list? No. Katvanga said, all right, I have one moment. Let me fully surrender to Krishna. And he achieved complete salvation. In a moment. That is called smart. So the day, the time may come for all of us. Will you pass that final exam? When the time of death comes, are you going to be able to say, I leave it all behind. Krishna, I'm ready to go. Take me. Are you ready for that?
Yes.
Then chant Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Come on. Usually we do it together. All right, I'm almost done. Maharaj Parikshit, now your duration of life is limited to 7 more days. So during this time, you can perform all those rituals which are needed for the best purpose of your next life. And here is the final thing I'm going to say, which is the second answer. First answer was chanting, right? Now, to my friend, at the last stage of one's life, one should be bold enough not to be afraid of death. So Shukadev is saying, don't be afraid, be bold. One must cut off all attachment to the material body and everything pertaining to it, and all desires. There it is. So how do you prepare? How do you become free from the fear of death? First of all, be bold. Don't be a wimp. That's the first thing. Snap out of it. Then, cut off all attachment to the material body and everything pertaining to it and all desires thereof. When I was in the earthquake in Santiago, what was I thinking? Oh, my toys at home. Oh, no. This is foolishness. This is foolishness. We have to leave all these things behind anyway. So this instruction of Shukadeva is very, very good. Be bold. Don't be afraid of death and cut off all attachment. The only way you're going to do that is to be serious and sincere about chanting. I want everyone to raise their hand and repeat after me and do it so that Obama hears you in the White House. Hare Krishna!
Hare Krishna!
Hare Krishna!
Hare Krishna!
Krishna Krishna!
Krishna Krishna!
Hare Hare!
Hare Hare!
Hare Rama!
Hare Rama!
Hare Rama!
Hare Rama!
Rama Rama!
Rama Rama!
Hare Hare!
Hare Hare!
Class is dismissed. Now go take prasadam. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.